Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Perhaps it's obvious, and most of us would agree, that there are many differences between us. And there are differences in who we are, differences in what we do, differences in what we value and what motivates us and what drives us on. Still, despite those differences, whether we are rich or poor, or whether we are educated or uneducated, whether we're from the north or from the south, or from the east or from the west, one thing that we all have in common is that we all have been given 24 hours in a day. And many of our differences become evident in how we choose to spend the time that we have been given in that day. And we should not deceive ourselves, because how we choose to spend our time speaks volumes about who we really are. And the passage of scripture that is before us today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 through 21, we see the passion. We see the heart of Paul. It is revealed to us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Paul was committed to Jesus Christ. He was committed to the truth of His word, and he was committed to bring that truth to the people of this world. And for almost 2 years, Paul labored among the people in the church in the city of Corinth. He had led many of them to Christ. He had discipled many of them. In fact, he had started the church there. They all knew Paul very well. They knew that he was a man of integrity. They knew that he was a man who loved the Lord above all else. And they also knew that he was committed to them as well. Yet after he left that city and false teachers came in among them, amazingly, they were quick to believe their lies. Their lies concerning Paul. And though they should have stood up for him, they said nothing. So Paul was forced to defend himself. So as he says in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I have become foolish because I have been forced to defend myself. But you yourselves have compelled me, anankazo in Greek. You have put me in this position. How? How did they do that? Because they did not believe that Paul spoke the truth concerning Christ. And instead, they believed the lies of the enemy that were being fed to them by those false teachers. But it was more than just the reputation of Paul that was at stake there. It was the truth of Christ that was on the line. And actually, Paul says, I should have been commended by you. Sunistemi in Greek. You should have stood together with me. You should have rushed to my defense and spoken up for me, because your lives are a testimony to the truth of Christ that I shared among you. And the fact is that in no respect Was I inferior? Hustereo. In no way did I come up short to those so-called eminent apostles, as they called themselves, who are among you. Even though Paul says, I am a nobody. I am no one of preeminence. Yet the difference is this. I am a true messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ, while they are not. And the signs, he says in verse 12, semaion in Greek, the distinguishing marks of a true apostle of Christ were performed among you by the Lord through me. The Lord chose me. He set me apart from my mother's womb to represent him, to bear his name among you with all perseverance. Hupomone in Greek, with all endurance. As I was in hardship and I was under the threat of death all the time, even under pressure that was all around me. Because the people of this world hate the message of the light, of the truth, of Christ, so they hate those who bring that truth. And since the New Testament was not yet written, the Lord, through the 12 apostles and through Paul, validated the truth of the message that they spoke by signs, by distinguishing marks, by supernatural occurrences that pointed to the truth of the message of Christ that they were preaching. And the effect of those occurrences was wonder. Teras in Greek. It was shock. It was amazement. And those miracles, dunamis in Greek, that incredible power that they witnessed could only be attributed to God, who was the source of that power, validating the message of the apostles. So in verse 13, Paul asks the people in the church in Corinth this question. And so he says, in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches where I ministered? The miraculous power of God was demonstrated among you through me, just as it was demonstrated among the other churches. And the only difference is that I myself did not become a burden to you, a weight around your neck. Even though I had the right to receive financial support from you, I never asked for it at all. Forgive me, he says, if you consider this as wrong, adikia in Greek, as a great injustice that has been done to you. So here we are, he says in verse 14. Now, for the third time, I am ready. Hetoimos in Greek. I am prepared to come to you. And again, I will not be a burden to you. I will not take anything from you, for I do not seek what is yours, but I seek you. I seek to win you back to Christ. True shepherds of God care about the flock of God, not about themselves. Paul did not want their money, but he wanted their hearts. For children, he says, spiritual children are not responsible to save up for their parents. I am your spiritual father. And spiritual parents are to give of themselves for their spiritual children. And so, he points out in verse 15, I will most gladly, with joy in my heart, spend myself. Da panao in Greek. I will freely spend my time and my money and my energy and my strength for you. I will most gladly be expended, ek dapanao. I will be spent. I will exhaust all of my resources. I will exhaust myself. I would even sacrifice my life for your eternal souls. So since I continue to love you in this way, more and more, then why do I continue to be loved less and less by you? All that I ask from you is your love. And I do not understand why you are so unwilling to freely give that love to me. But Paul cries out in verse 16, be that as it may, despite this, I did not burden you myself, and I will not burden you. Nevertheless, there are those among you who say that I am a crafty fellow, panurgas in Greek, that I am willing to do anything and everything to manipulate you, that I took advantage of you by deceit, dalas in Greek, that I baited you like fish on a hook. But think about what they are saying. Why would I deceive you in order to gain nothing from you? Certainly, he says, in asking you to collect funds for the starving believers in Jerusalem, I have not taken advantage of you. Pleonekteo in Greek. I have not overstepped my authority, have I? Even when I sent those among you, other workers. I urge Titus, our dear brother in Christ, whom you know well, I urged him to go to you. And I sent along the brother whom you also respect. Well, now let me ask you this. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did he? Well, no. Of course he didn't. And did we all not conduct ourselves in the same spirit, with integrity and with honesty? And did we all not walk in the same steps in the truth of Christ Jesus our Lord? So our consciences are clear before God. All of this time, Paul says in verse 19, you have had the wrong perspective. You have been thinking that we are defending ourselves before you, when actually we do not seek your approval at all for what we do. Because what we do in the sight of God. So we seek His approval, that we've been faithful, that we have been faithful to accurately speak the truth of Christ among you. And all that we have done we have done in order to build you up in the faith, beloved of Christ. But Paul notes his apprehension in verse 20. And so he says, I am afraid. I am deeply concerned for you, that perhaps when I come to you, I may find you to be not what I wish, and that I may be found by you to be not what you wish. Your sin must be dealt with. And if it has not been dealt with, then I must deal with it. My concern is perhaps there might still be strife there, quarrels that are destroying the unity of the church. And I'm afraid that there might be an undercurrent of jealousy, of self-centered fury, of selfishness that is boiling underneath the surface. And that just might erupt into angry tempers, into outbursts of wrath. I'm concerned that there might still be disputes among you, selfish ambition that promotes slanders and insults toward each other and gossip, whispering about each other. I'm concerned that you might still have that arrogance in your spirit being puffed up in your minds, resulting in disturbances, in instability in the church. I'm afraid, Paul adds in verse 21, that when I come to you again, my God may humiliate me before you and put me to shame, because I told everyone that your lives are a reflection of Christ. And so, I will weep and I will mourn and I will grieve over many of you there who have sinned in the past and who have not repented of their impurity, of their spiritual uncleanness, and of their lusts, and of their immorality, of their adulteries, and of their fornications, and of their sensuality, of their unrestrained indecency, which they have practiced and which they continue to practice. The heart of Paul grieved for these believers. And Paul was willing to spend himself, to be spent for them, so that they might turn their lives around, and so that they might turn from their sin in obedience to Christ Jesus our Lord, which is the heart, which is the passion of all of us who love our Savior, to spend and to be spent for him.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.